We don't look to the Anne Voskamps and the Beth Moores of the world for what it means to be a Christian woman.
Adrian Dorheinz talking about her presentation at this summer's Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference.
We look first to Jesus, and his word tells us that a godly woman is marked by things like repentance and piety, humility and grace. And ultimately, this kind of woman lives a really full life in faith. She has Christ's name on her, she receives all the blessings he has to give, and she rejoices in those. That's what the life of a baptized woman looks like, and that's who the Lord has created us as his daughters to be.
You can meet and hear Adrian Dorheinz, Making the Case for Biblical Womanhood, Friday, June 10th and Saturday, June 11th at the Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference in Collinsville, Illinois. For more information, visit issuesetc.org or call 618-223-8385. The Issues Etc. Making the Case Conference, June 10th and 11th in Collinsville, Illinois. That's the hymn, Come My Soul With Every Care, sung by the children's choirs of St. Paul Lutheran Church in Fort Wayne, Indiana. It is true, as the hymn says, Jesus loves to answer prayer. Now, the disciples, I think this is one of the cases where the disciples ask just a completely innocent question. It is without guile or serious self-motivation, I think. They just come to Jesus at one point, and they say, Lord, teach us to pray. We continue to say those words to bid the Lord that he would teach us to pray before we pray the prayer that Jesus answered their petition with, the Lord's Prayer. Right there in Luke chapter 11, Jesus not only is teaching his disciples how to pray, he is actually telling them why to pray. He is giving them a reason to pray. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Pastor Tom Baker joins us to teach a Sunday school lesson on this Tuesday afternoon. We're in Luke chapter 11, Jesus Teaches Us to Pray. Pastor Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. Tom, welcome back.
Thank you.
So Jesus isn't just teaching them how. He is also giving them the reason to pray. What is it?
Anytime when our children were young, I would want them to do something. I would always try and give them a reason by motivating them to do what I wanted them to do for their benefit. The benefit that Jesus has in prayer is that by teaching us to pray, he is motivating us by saying that God promises to hear and answer our prayers. And I think that's a really important point. Even when you go through the Lord's Prayer, there really isn't one petition that we say in that Lord's Prayer that God already hasn't given to us. But it's a reminder of all of these things are coming from a God who has promised not just to hear us, there are a lot of gods who promise to hear you, but to answer you to your benefit. This is certainly true of the triune God.
So does it begin that promise and the motivation to pray, does it begin in those first words, Our Father?
Yes, because how did he become our Father? Why don't you just say, Father in heaven? I had the experience this past Sunday, Todd, of going to visit. You know, you can go to a Mormon temple before they open it up or dedicate it. Well, I went to a mosque that is opening up. I talked to the head gentleman there, and we're listening to them. And there was nothing that they said where Allah really is our Father in heaven. He is a God in heaven, but whether or not he's your personal father, whether he has a personal relationship with you, whether or not there is an assurance for a Muslim that they are definitely going to heaven, all of that is missing. And that is not missing. The Lord's Prayer kind of follows the Ten Commandments. If you go to Exodus, what does God say? I am the Lord your God. You want to know why? Because I brought you out of the land of Egypt. And when you have that kind of relationship with me, then you won't have other gods. You won't take my name in vain. You'll remember my Sabbath day, etc., etc. So the Lord's Prayer is quite parallel to the first time the commandments were given in Exodus 20, that God already has become our God. And therefore, to say our Father in heaven, that means that he is our Father, and we're soon going to find out because of the work of Jesus Christ.
The first two things that Jesus instructs the disciples and us to pray for are not things that would be at the top of our list if we were making a prayer list. The first one, certainly not. Hallowed be thy name, and then thy kingdom come, thy will be done. Let's deal with those one at a time. Hallowed be thy name.
Yes, what does that remind us of? It actually reminds us of the second commandment. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. In other words, we're to hallow it. What does that mean? Well, when Adam and Eve sinned and fell in the Garden of Eden, they lost a lot of gifts. And the two that they lost were the ability to talk to God. And the second one is for God to talk to them. Guess what these two petitions do? Hallowed be your name. That is how we talk to God. He has given us his name. Jesus, Mighty One, Ancient of Days, Father, Son. There's so many of them. So we can now talk to him, and therefore we are to use his name in a holy way. Your kingdom come. When does that occur? It occurs according to the third commandment. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy, as Martin Luther taught it, that we should fear and love God, that we do not despise preaching and his word. In a divine worship service, God's kingdom is coming. In fact, God himself is coming to us in the liturgy, in the hymns, in the sermon, in the readings. So I would really show that the first three parts of the Lord's Prayer fit perfectly with the first three commandments that God gave to Moses.
Pastor Tom Baker is our guest. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson today. Jesus teaching us to pray in Luke chapter 11. When we come back, we will talk about the other petitions, so to speak, the other things that Jesus tells us, urges us, and commands us to pray for, because before our prayers are ever made, his promise has been made. Jesus is essentially not only teaching his disciples how to pray, he is clearly telling his disciples and us what God has promised to give, even before we ask. We'll be right back.
It was Jesus Christ our Lord. Now pay close attention, little children. It's somebody you ought to know. Yeah, it's all about a man that walked on earth nearly 2,000 years ago.
The Issues Etc. Book of the Month for April is a story about one man's journey from death row executioner to Lutheran pastor. It's titled The Executioner's Redemption, My Story of Violence, Death, and Saving Grace. You can check it out at issuesetc.org or call Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040. The Executioner's Redemption is on sale for $12.99. The Issues Etc. Book of the Month, The Executioner's Redemption.
Since 1989, the Missouri Synod has allowed men without a divine call or ordination to publicly preach, teach, and administer the sacraments. This will be addressed at the Synod's convention this coming summer. On May 17th, Gottesdienst, the Journal of Lutheran Liturgy, will be hosting a conference at St. Paul Lutheran Church of Hamel, Illinois, discussing the biblical doctrine of the Holy Ministry and the Lutheran confession of it. All are welcome. Go to gottesdienst.blogspot.com for more information.
Expert guests, expansive topics, extolling Christ. You're listening to Issues Etc.
Thanks to the following congregations for standing with us by joining the Issues Etc. 300. Redeemer Lutheran, Mandeville, Louisiana. Our Savior Lutheran, Whitefish Bay, Wisconsin. Christ Lutheran, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. Emmanuel Lutheran, Louisville, Nebraska. Grace Lutheran, Warminster, Pennsylvania. Trinity Lutheran, Valonia, Indiana. Emmanuel Lutheran, Pensacola, Florida, St. Athanasius Lutheran, Vienna, Virginia, and Emmaus Lutheran, St. Louis, Missouri. Find out how your church can support this worldwide outreach by including Issues Etc. in your mission or advertising budget. Just go to our website, issuesetc.org, click support, and print the one-page flyer.
When your congregation joins the Issues Etc. 300, we'll publicize your congregation on the radio, at our website, and in the Issues Etc. journal. IssuesETC.org. Click support. The Issues Etc. 300.
Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're teaching a Sunday school lesson with Pastor Tom Baker. Concordia Publishing House has a Sunday school curriculum. It forms the basis for our conversation. And the insights that you often hear from both me and Tom are usually drawn directly from that Sunday school curriculum. It's a great preparation for anybody who sits down and faces the daunting task of preparing to teach young people in a Sunday school class. They make it much, much easier, and they also keep it centered on Christ and his saving work for sinners. It's called Growing in Christ. Here's just an example of what they say about the Luke passage we're looking at here. These great passages on prayer not only give us the Lord's Prayer, they also give us the gospel motivation to pray. Luther said, "Thus you will find God's entire will presented here. Surely has no other thoughts toward you in his heart than those shown you in this Lord's Prayer." Great insights from Growing in Christ. You can get a free sample from Concordia Publishing House, 1-800-325-3040, 1-800-325-3040. Browse before you buy under the Listen on Demand page at IssuesETC.org. Growing in Christ from Concordia Publishing House. Tom, let's talk about the other petitions that Luke presents there in those first 13 verses. They're very simple. Give us each day our daily bread. Forgive us our sins. For we ourselves forgive everyone who's indebted to us. Lead us not into temptation. This is simple, basic, just like daily bread, daily stuff for the Christian, isn't it?
Yes. You missed the one, though. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What does that mean? The first three parts of the Lord's Prayer, I would tie to the first, the second, and the third commandment. That's what we call the first table of the law. The second table of the law, therefore, is now how the first table relates to our neighbor. And that is well summarized by your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Because in heaven, we will, for example, honor those who were our father and mother still in heaven. We will honor and love them. We will not kill. We will not commit adultery. We will not steal, not covet, bear false witness, etc. So that your will be done on earth as it is in heaven is a wonderful summary of the second table of the commandments. The give us this day our daily bread goes back to what you were saying earlier, Todd, that here's something we're praying for that he already has provided us. So these petitions are said not so that we're going to get them, but in thankfulness to God that he's already giving them to us. The next one, I think, is really misunderstood by a lot of people. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, or forgive us our sins. Those are different words in the original language. Sins is kind of shooting at a target, missing the mark. A debt, well, you owe God something. And so these are kind of different ideas. I'm sure Jesus said this prayer more than once, and he may have used different words. But the reason I say it's a difficult one, a lot of people think, forgive us our debts insofar as we forgive our debtors. And I would like to share what I think is the true meaning there. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. How do I forgive a debtor? How do I forgive the sins of someone else? In Christ. And we're asking God the Father not to forgive us because we're doing so much better, because we paid for our sins, but to forgive us in the same way that we're enabled to forgive because of Jesus Christ. Do not lead us into temptation. James is pretty clear. God never leads us into temptation. So again, we're just reminding ourselves what God has already promised. We are tempted by the world, our flesh, and the devil. And deliver us from evil is better understood as deliver us from the evil one. It's talking about on that day of your personal judgment when you die, or the great throne judgment, you will be delivered from the kingdom of the evil one. And then yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. That actually may not have been part of the original Lord's Prayer. It is from the Bible. It's from Chronicles, and it's part of the worship service. And that's why you have the Roman Catholics don't have it in their Bible. We have it in ours, and scholars still continue to argue as to whether or not those were the original words of Jesus. But that's a little summary of the various petitions, and what Jesus is really trying to get us to do is to trust in the promises of the Holy Trinity.
With about 30 seconds here, basically the long gospel for the Sunday school children on Jesus' Lord's Prayer.
The law is we can't get any of those things by ourselves. We don't keep God's name holy. We don't want his kingdom to come. We don't do his work on earth. We can't forgive our own sins. And therefore, that's why the prayer begins with our Father in heaven. And of course, in heaven doesn't mean in some faraway place that isn't anywhere near us. But where Jesus is at the right hand of God, and according to Ephesians chapter 2, where even the children are there because of their baptism, they are with Jesus at the right hand of God.
Pastor Tom Baker is host of a radio show called Law and Gospel. You can find out more about Law and Gospel at issuesetc.org. Click Listen on Demand. Tom, thanks for being our guest.
And thank you, Todd.
Tomorrow on Issues Etc., we're going to get our weekly update on the November elections from journalists Mark and Molly Hemingway of the Weekly Standard and the Federalist. We'll continue our weekly series on Martin Luther and the Reformation, talking with Dr. Ken Sherb about the Saxon Visitation and the articles, they're called Visitation articles, that were written before this visitation. Luther looked around. He had a little breathing room politically from Rome and the emperor. He looked around and he thought we really ought to look and see what's actually happening in the congregations where the gospel has found a new home. And what he found was shocking. He said, the most miserable of conditions, pastors who didn't know anything, lay people who knew less, and the practices that he said, I got to write myself a catechism because we're now talking about rank pagans. We'll talk about all of that tomorrow on Issues Etc. with Dr. Ken Sherb in our ongoing series on Martin Luther and the Reformation. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for listening. I'll talk with you tomorrow on Issues Etc.
Listen weekday afternoons to Pastor Todd Wilkin and guests on Issues Etc. Issues Etc. is a listener-supported program. Your financial support is vital for the continuation and expansion of this worldwide outreach. Our mailing address, Issues Etc., P.O. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. Box 83, Collinsville, Illinois, 62234. You can also donate at our website, issuesetc.org. Issues Etc. is a production of LPR, Lutheran Public Radio.
Your pastor has been called to shepherd you as a member of Christ's flock. Doxology offers an innovative program of advanced study retreats where your pastor can be refreshed, renewed, and refocused. Find out more at doxology.us. Many pastors report that doxology has been one of the most valuable learning experiences since seminary. Doxology, the Lutheran Center for Spiritual Care and Counsel. Doxology.us. Doxology.us.
When you need a friend, you have a friend in Jesus Christ, the Good Shepherd, and friends among his people at Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, Arnold, Missouri. At Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, we offer Christ-centered word and sacrament ministry, inspirational liturgical worship services, and faithful preaching and teaching. Sunday worship services are at 9 a.m. Sunday school and Bible class are at 10:30. We also have an excellent Christian preschool. We invite you to join us. Good Shepherd Lutheran Church, 2211 Tenbrook Road, Arnold, Missouri, 636-296-1292.